about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. If you had no hate, you'd sort of have meh and eh. Because you wouldn't engage. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Today, the psychology of hate.
Now, the question has often been asked, why some human emotions, which seem only destructive, are still around? And probably the most obvious one that comes to mind is the emotion of hate. I think most people think that hate is a bad thing and not something that we should cultivate in children and not something that we should encourage in the population. But yet, hate is a very powerful emotion in that it has a very intense motivating function.
It's funny, right? People say, well, you know, the opposite of love is hate. And really, in many ways, no. I think, you know, a lot of people have talked about the fact that really the opposite of love is indifference. The reason is that if you think about emotions, they have two elements to them. They have direction, positive, negative, and then they have strength or arousal, degree of the emotion. And love and hate are both extraordinarily intense emotions that differ on the dimension of you know, good versus bad. Indifference, of course, is mildly negative usually and mild. Yeah. So it's different on both of those degrees. And so the interesting thing about hate is that at least you're engaged. I mean, and
well, it's something.
But I think that matters a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those people who never engage with anything in the world don't feel anything particularly strongly. And so one of the reasons why something like hate persists is in part because we have to be able to engage with a certain number of things in order to be able to do anything at all.
Yeah.
And that means you got to take the good with the bad. Emotional experience is an interpretation of feelings.
Beautifully put. Yeah.
And the feelings come from the motivational system. And so if I am deeply engaged with something, then I get strong feelings because my motivational system is reflecting that engagement. And again, the positive or negative piece to that emotion comes from whether I'm currently succeeding or failing. So one of the reasons that we have a relatively small number of emotional terms is because it's actually hard to do that interpretation.
And if you think about it, there are lots of emotions that are very much unlike in terms of our interpretation, have very similar physiologies, right? If we're anticipating something that we're really looking forward to, our heart rate might go up a little bit, you know, we might breathe a little faster, those kinds of things. Same thing might happen when we're a little bit fearful of something too. But again, as Art was saying, it's the interpretation given the context of the circumstances we find ourselves in that then we say, ah, this means a negative thing, even though our body may be responding in a way that's in many ways similar to a different situation where we view the interpretation differently.
We have several reasons why we might want to act in a way that tries to stop somebody from doing what they're doing. It might be because they're harming me personally. It might be because they're doing something that is bad for the group, either because they're a member of the group who's doing something bad for the group, or because there's someone from outside the group who's doing something that's bad for the group. Mm-hmm. And of course, the beauty of human cognition is that we can define our groups in very loose ways. So the group could be me as an individual. It could be my family. It could be my tribe. It could be my whole nation, right? We have lots of ways of defining that group. And in the moment where we have somebody doing something really negative to our group, we can feel an outrage towards them that we would think of as hate. In that moment, I hate that individual. I hate that group. And what's important about that is that the level of arousal you get drives you to do something about it, because it's hard to get somebody to stop something that they're doing if you don't do something, whether it's telling them to stop, yelling at them, punishing them, whatever it is, until you perform an action, they're likely to persist in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who thinks you can more effectively influence behavior in the short term with a promise of reward than with the threat of punishment doesn't know the data. And anybody who thinks you can more effectively influence behavior in the long term with a threat of punishment rather than with a promise of reward doesn't know the data. As you're saying, if someone's engaging in some behavior that's maladaptive, either for the individual, for the group, whatever, there needs to be some impetus to interrupt that behavior in some way. And things that can only happen in the future can't possibly do that. But over the long term, is that if what you're doing, if the way you're behaving is being governed by avoiding punishment, there are lots of ways you can avoid punishment other than doing the right thing.
Right.
Right? I mean, you just learn to be better at avoiding the punishment. You don't necessarily learn the behavior that the punishment is intended to now cultivate.
Right. And so hate persists because there are lots of situations in which people do something that is bad for you or the group, and in the moment, something needs to be done about it. Mm-hmm. But to the extent that you ultimately want to create something, and to create something that you think is better, you now at some point need to shift yourself to a focus on what is desirable. And if you can be disappointed in progress towards desirable things being slow.
Yeah.
But you don't hate that. And so you have to really work at that. You know, it's really easy to see how hate can become the go-to. And why religious figures rarely have to tell people to hate a lot, but they have to preach love.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about suppressing anger with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. And go to KUT.org for more about the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.